So it is absolutely my privilege to be here this evening. I absolutely love this church. I love this city. I just love driving here from Franschhoek. My whole world opens up, and it's just the most beautiful city in the world, let's be honest. I mean, Yanni and I have had the privilege of traveling, but really, the city makes us happy. And it's so nice to see all your gorgeous faces. I don't know who I really know here. I know a few of you. So I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Kat. My husband and I, you were already told, our pastor's in Franschhoek. And I won't tell you my whole life story, only to tell you that God has really radically come into our lives, radically transformed our lives. And it's just the most glorious thing to serve him. There's nothing better in the whole wide world. I just tell you this. We've been married for almost 10 years, and we've been waiting for children for about 8 of them. We have walked a long road. We were pregnant about 3.5 years ago, hey? And we miscarried. No, not him, me. Yeah, the royal we. Okay, so, but, you know, I know a lot of you have prayed for us. I mean, I know some of your faces, and I know that you've seen us standing up in front of the church, I mean, at conference and conventions, and you know, I think when you give your life to the Lord, Fred said this to us once when he spoke to us, and he said, you know, you become the message. Your life is the message. It's not what you speak. It's not what you say necessarily. You are the message. And sometimes, I just want to tell you this because I want to encourage you. This is not what I'm actually going to speak about. I just want to encourage you. I really feel like we all need encouragement. We all need to be told that God is truly, truly faithful. He is truly the loving, amazing Father that He says He is. And He is truly the King of glory. He can do anything. And I'm turning 42 this year, and I'm pregnant. And I just want to tell you that it's been a journey of pain and waiting and fear and hope. And there were times when, you know, you can lose hope. It doesn't look like it's coming together. And I remember, I just want to tell you this, I don't know why, but 2 years ago when I was turning 40, in my quiet time, I said, Father, I want a present from you today. I want a promise from you. I want to hear it from your mouth, from your lips. I need the promise. And immediately, I felt in my heart to turn to 1 Samuel. It's a beautiful story. I've read it so many times. But it was for me. That morning, it was a present from my father. And as I started to read the story of Hannah, I started to weep, and I knew that God was making me a promise, a very personal promise. And at that moment, I heard children laughing downstairs. Literally, I heard children laughing. I heard little voices and laughter. And I just, that was my promise, you know what I'm saying? And 2 years went by, thank God, not 28 years, as Abraham and Sarah had to wait 28 years. But I just want to encourage you. If our story does encourage you at all, we knew. There was not, someone asked me today, Kat, did you ever give up? Did you ever not think? No, I didn't. I didn't not think ever, ever, ever. I knew that God wanted us to have children. I knew that this was the desire of my father's heart. But there were definitely times that I was afraid. There was definitely times, even through this time, we've been afraid, and this is the lie from the enemy. He comes to take that joy from us, the promise, the hope that God gives us. Amen. So I just hope that does encourage any of you. It is awesome to be part of the Shofar family. This morning we had the privilege of having, Liana preach at Shofar, at our church in Franschhoek, and I think today that's what's happening all around. I don't know if you know that, but all over the Shofar, it's so exciting, and it's so nice to be part of a family, isn't it? It's so nice to know that we like one, we're together, like we're chummies, you know? It's very nice, and yeah, and also Awaken was amazing. Sorry, I do need some of this water. I don't know, who of you were there? Awesome. So there's fire in this house. I know that a lot of our ladies testified this morning of a new fire. And I just want to encourage you not to allow that fire to fizzle out, but to just infect the rest of the people around you and to testify and to not stop reminding yourselves of what the Lord did in this weekend. Amen. Okay. So yeah, all right. So Yanni and I are Greek. Actually, we're such a complete mixture of nationalities, but predominantly I'm Greek. Born and bred, both parents from Athens, lived there for a lot of my life, and so I do have the upper hand on any of you except if you're Greek, because I you know the Bible in Greek, speak Greek. I'm joking, but being Greek, I love to cook. Has anyone here seen my big fat Greek wedding? Okay, it's like also from the Ark. Okay, I know you guys. That movie came on video, I think. Do you know what that is? Okay. All right, so being Greek, I love recipes. And I think today I have an amazing recipe for all of us. Yeah, it's all these lovely spices and pictures and everything. I do put up references because I don't keep referring to, if there's some quotes I've got here and I won't always remember who's from what. So I have references from Phil Morgan, D.L. Moody, King James, and ESV. All right. My recipe today, okay, well, just first, I want to read you a scripture from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. If you do have your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, you'll turn with me, or you can just look at that. Okay, so it says Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Now, I don't know if any of you know what a yoke is. Okay. Now, in the Bible, when it refers to a yoke, I know that most of you are very well discipled, but in the Bible, when it refers to yoke, it's mostly bondage. Okay. And I know some of you might be from farming communities, but a lot of you are not. So I've actually, can you go to the next slide? I've actually taken the liberty of giving you a picture of a yoke, or two oxen with a yoke. So yokes are still used to tie oxen together, to connect two oxen. But it's actually more specifically used to tie an ox to a burden. Okay, and that's why it talks about the yoke. But in this case, when he talks about yokes, he talks about burdens or bondage or oppression in our lives. Okay, so another scripture, actually the key verse for today, Isaiah 10:27, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Have you ever heard of that phrase, the anointing will break the yoke? Have any of you heard that? Okay, but note what it actually says. It doesn't say that. It actually says, the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed by the anointing. That's what it actually says. So, you know, when you say something's broken, or if it's something breaks, it falls to the ground, you pick it up, you glue it back together, it's fine. You can use it. Your kettle breaks, you take it, you fix it, new element, it's usable, right? But when it's destroyed, it's gone. And again, this is talking about the oppression in our lives. I really feel like God's wanting to talk to us today about the things in our lives that bind us, the things in our lives that hold us back. We had addiction, depression, fear. I mean, this weekend, we really all dealt with fear. And it's something that the Lord wants to continue to do in our lives. So, yeah, so that's what he's talking about with anointing. But have you ever wondered what this word anointing is? I know a lot of you might know what the word, you've heard it a lot of times, but have you ever really looked into it? Does anyone know the definition of anointing? Okay. I'll tell you. Okay. So anointing literally means to rub on, pour on, smear on, rub into, pour into. That's what anointing means. Okay. It's like anointing oil. The kings used to, before the old times when a king was being anointed, they would literally take the shofar and they would fill it with oil and pour it over the king to anoint him. It's pretty much the anointing of God is God poured on us, smeared on us, filled in us. It's God on flesh. Do you get that? It's God doing what only God can do. That's what the anointing is. And another way to look at it is being set apart. When God sets us apart, we are holy. We are set apart for his use. That's another way of looking at it. Again, those kings that were being anointed, they were being anointed because they were being set apart as men of God, set apart for the use, for God's use. And they did that with the high priest as well. And even with the tabernacle of old, there was nothing, they would never go into the tabernacle without anointing everything. They anointed the furniture, they anointed all the elements, all the objects of worship, and they anointed everything because it was set apart. Do you get that? Do you know what being set apart means? Holy, set apart for the use of God. Amen. This is how we turn the page and on the ark. And if you've heard someone say that